You should join us tonight.
You will witness a miracle.
Do you still think you're a star?
Stop it.
Is it me or is it getting a bit choppy?
Thanks for coming in.
We lived here.
I never forgot it.
I'm fine to walk, honestly.
We're not secret partners.
Enjoy the rest of the concert.
Movie news.
Kiva.
We'll see who gets the last laugh.
With Gareth Daly.
Whoa.
Good afternoon to you, Garrett. We have been talking over the last year or so about a remake of the musical Guys and Dolls. You have some latest news for us.
Yeah, I do, because filmmaker Rob Marshall has reportedly become the latest director to sign on for the long gestating remake of the Tony Award winning stage musical. This has been going for a while because strangely, I mean, so Rob Marshall, it seems, going to replace Bill Condon. And the curious thing about that is that they worked together on Chicago, of course, in 2002. Marshall directed and Condon wrote it. And the producers at that time, because of the success, they managed to say, you know, we're going to do Guys and Dolls. They had got the rights at the time, but that's been a long time happening. And the rights were picked up again by TriStar in 2019. So they've been trying for a long time to get it made. Channing Tatum and Joseph Gordon-Levitt were linked to it at one point. Vin Diesel, strangely, has expressed a strong desire to star in the film as well. So maybe this is what they need now to sort of get it back on track, with Rob Marshall obviously in the director's chair.
He knows musicals, you know, he does.
He certainly does, yeah. And you could see that that's a good fit straight away. And like, you have to go back to 1950 and you have that iconic cast of Marlon Brando and Gene Simmons, Frank Sinatra starring in it. It first premiered in Broadway in 1950, where it ran for 3 years, and it did capture 5 Tony Awards, including Best Musical Prize, along with famed songs, of course, like Look, Be a Lady and Sit Down, You're Rocking the Boat.
That's a goodie.
It's a goodie. Let's hope it can now make its way to the big screen.
Yeah, because the original, I mean, the songs are amazing, but it is a little dated, so I would like to see a new version. So we'll see if Rob Marshall is up for the task. We know him from the likes of Mary Poppins Returns and Into the Woods, so we'll keep an eye on that one for sure. Now, we were talking about the Venice Film Festival last Saturday, Garrett, and we saw the likes of George Clooney and Brad Pitt looking very sharp and suave. You have some news on the two. They love working together.
They look shook, didn't they? The pair of them.
I was going to say sharp. Do you think shook?
Not at all. No, they look very slick, the pair of them.
That's all right. I was missing something. Looking very well, so, I thought, yes.
Very well, yeah. And yeah, defying age to the pair of them.
Yes, somehow.
Somehow. So the Oceans series, very popular. And Oceans 14 is back in the conversation again. George Clooney indicating that they've had a strong script for it. They're looking at a director, Edward Berger, who did All Quiet on the Western Front and actually got a lot of buzz from Venice as well for his new film. Conclave has reportedly been courted for the film. And there's rumours of him maybe directing the next James Bond film as well. Now, whether they get him or not for what will be Oceans 14, yet to see, but it'll be the first one without director Steven Soderbergh. The other thing as well is the question of will Brad Pitt and George Clooney are up for it. Mm-hmm. Will other members of the ensemble come back as well? It seems that Matt Damon and Casey Affleck will, but they're going to work on a sequel to The Instigators, which has been a bit of a success for Apple, and that's already got a sequel happening. Doug Liman directed that one. So a couple of projects coming in this field, because there was previously a project announced called Ocean, which is a prequel, and that stars Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling. But overall, I think this series seems to attract a lot of attention, and people the caper nature of these films.
Yeah, now you mentioned Bond there. You have a bit of casting news. Now, Aaron Taylor-Johnson is still the actor that we think is going to be the next Bond, but they just won't announce it. And meanwhile, he has signed on for something else.
He has, alongside Tom Hardy, for a film adaptation of author Joe Nesbo's crime thriller novel Blood on Snow. So Hardy's going to play a gang leader named The Fisherman. Johnson's going to play a cold, efficient hitman named Olaf in a story which unfolds in 1970s Oslo. So here's a bit of the storyline of this. So two rival gang leaders, Hoffman and The Fisherman, vie for control. Olaf is Fisherman's most trusted assassin, but beneath his exterior lies intelligence and an unwavering moral code. When Hoffman orders his own wife to be murdered, Olaf's principles clash with his loyalties, and he hatches a scheme that makes him Hoffman's next target with nowhere safe to turn.
Okay.
So a sort of deadly gang war ensues. Cary Fukunaga is going to direct this, who would have directed the last Bond movie, No Time to Die.
There's Bond again.
There's Bond again, and Nesbo has written the script to this one. So that one's called Blood on Snow.
Blood on Snow. Now, meanwhile, we are waiting, of course, for Gladiator 2. It'll hit cinemas in November 22nd, with our own Paul Mescal. What news have you for us on this, Garrett?
I have news of its running time. Uh-huh. So I was very much afraid that it was going to be a massive running time, because we are seeing, you know, films are getting longer and longer. But thankfully, it's going to have a shorter running time than the original Gladiator.
Very good.
Yeah, that is good, isn't
yes.
it? Now, it's not short, right? The running time is going to be 141 minutes, mm-hmm. but that's around 12 minutes shorter than the original back in 2000, which clocked in at 152 minutes. There was a bit of worry because actually when they did test screenings for this, it had a 161-minute version. So they have cut it back, which is a good thing.
Good. Edit.
Edit. So it's going to hit cinemas November 22nd. As you said, there's a lot of anticipation about it. There's been a lot of chatter about it with the trailer and everything as well. People not liking the music used and so on and so on. Let's just see the film. Yeah. I just can't wait to see it. So November 22nd, 141 minutes of Gladiator 2.
Loving your research. Thank you for sharing that with us. That sounds good. You've some more casting news. Amy Adams, great actor.
Yeah, she has closed a deal to produce and star in Lazy Susans. This is a new comedy about a group of moms who form a rock band. So
wow.
The pictures, it's inspired by a true story of the Lazy Susans, who are a real group out of Boston who assembled amid the COVID pandemic. So she's going to be co-producing this with Stacey O'Neill. No director has been announced. And Amy Adams was seen actually just over the last couple of days in Toronto with a new film called Night Bear, which Mario Heller's adaptation of a 2021 novel.
Looks extraordinary.
It does, doesn't it? And it's kind of surreal as well, film. So Amy Adams keeping busy. So we have other casting news as well of Alison Brie. She's the latest superstar to join the live-action Masters of the Universe film. Now, she's going to be cast as a supervillain, Evil Lyn, in the project. The plot details are being kept under wraps for the film, which will be released theatrically on June 5th, 2026. There's a bit of waiting time for it. And this one's been in the works for a while. Travis Knight, who would have directed the likes of Bumblebee, is on board to direct the project, which has been in various stages of the development since 2007.
Okay, what trailer have you picked out for us?
So Mike Leigh is back in the director's chair. Always an interesting director, you know, the likes of Vera Drake, Mr. Turner, Topsy Turvy. So here's a clip from Hard Truths.
You know, I've got health issues. I might spend the day lying in bed.
She makes everything about her. She's rude, man.
I've been harassed by people all day. I'm sick to death of it. I just want it to all stop.
Why are you so angry?
Why can't you enjoy life?
I don't know.
You worry me, you know.
Pansy, what's going on?
So lonely. What are we going to do about it?
Yeah, that is new from Mike Leigh, Hard Truths. And I have to say, watching the trailer, you know, even when you hear there, why are you so angry? She's the angriest character you've come across in a while. It's almost a hard watch, isn't it?
A hard watch. And apparently the film is a hard watch as well, because it just premiered at the Toronto International Film Festival. Marianne Jean-Baptiste and Michelle Austin starring in this. They've collaborated a lot with Mike Leigh before. This one's set in London and it's a film that explores family relationships in the post-pandemic world. And you know what you're going to get with Mike. And it's always, you know, I do like these movies, because obviously we're hit so often with good blockbuster fare, but it's nice to get a film that really challenges
exactly.
you at times as well. So this one's going to be released in early 2025. Hard Truths, do check out the trailer.
All right, in cinemas this weekend, let's look at our new releases, beginning with Beetlejuice.
When I was a teenager, a trickster demon terrorized our entire family and tried to force me to marry him. I believed he was gone forever
until you found this in the attic.
Ew. Who's Beetlejuice?
Don't ever say that name.
Beetlejuice.
No, Astrid! I am serious! If you say his name three times, he will appear.
Beetlejuice.
The juice is loose.
Yes, we do love Michael Keaton. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, he's back in it, and some of the other original members returning, Garrett.
Yeah, and this week alone, actually, I listened to a podcast with Winona Ryder, and she talked about how for years she wanted to do a sequel to it because the character of Lydia was so important to her. And then I listened to one with Michael Keaton as well, which was really interesting, talking about, you know, Tim Burton courted him early on, wanted him for the role. And the first day of the set, he didn't know what he was going to do with him when he was in the hair and makeup. You know, he was saying, like, just stand the hair up, let's just put on this makeup. And he walked to set, and the first time anybody saw him doing this version of Beetlejuice was on the first set, on the set for the very first day. And Tim Burton loved it and says, yeah, you have it, and let's go with it. So, really interesting. This one, they do return to Winter River, and they're still haunted by Beetlejuice, but Lydia's life is turned upside down when her rebellious teenage daughter Astrid discovers the mysterious model of the town in the attic, and the portal to the afterlife is, of course, accidentally opened with Beetlejuice returning. Good cast as well, like new cast in it, Jenny Ortega, Willem Dafoe, Catherine O'Hara returns as well, Justin Theroux is in it, Monica Bellucci, and of course Tim Burton directing Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
All right, we also have a very different film, Don't Forget to Remember.
Yes, Don't Forget to Remember. This is, I suppose, it's about the inherent understanding of the grieving process when a family loses a loved one, but what if the person isn't gone? So it's an emotive human story that explores the fragility of memory and the lived experience of Alzheimer's while also celebrating a family's life lived together. Ross Killeen directs this one. We've got Starve Acre as well. This is about an idyllic rural family life of a couple is thrown into turmoil when their son starts acting out a character. Matt Smith leads the cast here. If you like your concert films, Blur Live at Wembley Stadium is also out. We've got Firebrand, which has Jude Law starring as Henry VIII and Alicia Vikander starring as Catherine Parr, his sixth wife in Firebrand. And then we have Rebel Ridge, which is out on Netflix. This is about an ex-Marine grapples his way through a web of small-town corruption when an attempt to post bail for his cousin escalates into a vital standoff with the local police. Aaron Pierre and Don Johnson star in Rebel Ridge.
All right, what TV movie have you picked for us?
Talking about the Mike Leigh movie and that style of movie, this is one that's very much in that vein and is a difficult watch. Frank Berry, a great director, directs this one. And it's about a 13-year-old girl trying to cope with the death of her mother, faces further disruption in her life when her father's ex puts in an appearance with a surprising revelation, and witnessing the outpouring of love for a local boy who committed suicide, she becomes tempted to take her own life. It's a very difficult watch, but what you've got in it is an extraordinary performance by two young actors, Jordan Jones and David Flynn, in this movie. I Used to Live Here is on tonight at 9:45 on TG Cahir. And if you've not seen it, it's a challenging but really interesting film to watch.
All right, Gareth, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Aidy.